You ever felt like the whole world's against you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever felt like, you know, or said to yourself, man, if I say this or do this, I could get killed. Figuratively or literally. Have you ever been in that place in life where it just nothing seems to go right? It just seems like everything is against you. I've been there in all those scenarios. I've got the postcard to show for it. I think most of us probably have been there at some point in our lives. This morning, we're going to dig into God's Word. And we're going to see if we can figure out a way to understand what God's telling us about living life into those situations.
A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never fails. Our helper, He amid the flood, a mortal is prevailed. Still our ancient foes that seek to work us woe, His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not His deed. Did we in our own strength unfold, our striving help believe? Were not the right on our side, the man of God's own truth? Ask who that may be, 'cause Jesus it is He. Lord, Sabbath is His name, from age to age the same. And
God, this is going to be a really simple prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Amen. Maybe one of the most, well, quite possibly the most unthinkable act happened on September the 11th, 2001. As Americans living in a land of freedom, what happened in New York City, in Washington, D.C., at the Pentagon, and in a field in Pennsylvania was almost unthinkable. It was unbelievable. At the time of this incredible event, Diane and I lived in northern Kentucky with our family, with the boys. And the parsonage for our church was in the flight path of CVG. So I mean, within 100 feet of our house, these airplanes were, when they were on the landing pattern, they were right, I mean, it was like I could see the pilot. They were so close. That morning, I was sitting out on the deck. I was drinking coffee, reading my devotions, just kind of chilling, getting ready to think about going into the office, and all of a sudden, all these airplanes started landing. I mean, they were like a minute apart. It was like the craziest thing I'd ever seen. And you know, at that time, the Delta hub was in Cincinnati. So I mean, it was all Delta planes normally. But on that day, I mean, it was all different airliners from all different airlines. And I'm looking at these airplanes. They're just like one after another, just crazy. And it never, didn't stop. And I'm like, what is going on? This is weird. And then my phone rang. And my friend Jay, he said, are you watching television? And I'm like, Jay, I don't ever watch TV in the morning. He said, right now, today, you need to. So I walked in the house and I turned the television set on and I stood there in absolute stunned silence. As I know many people did on that morning. We couldn't believe that America could possibly be under attack. I mean, on American soil, I mean, who would be that foolish? And then the question came to my mind as I kept hearing these airplanes landing, who and when and where might be next? And might there be a bomb on one of those planes just coming hundreds of feet from our house? I was a little bit freaked out. It made for a crazy, unnerving morning, to say the least. And across the country, people were asking the question, how could this fortress called America, which seemed so impenetrable, suddenly be so vulnerable? Many feared and wondered, will our country ever be the same? Will our world ever be the same? Under attack. It was unbelievable. There's an amazing story in the Bible in 2 Chronicles that talks about a wild and chaotic time of God's people being under attack. When Israel had come out of Egypt and entered into the promised land, God told them that there would be some tribes already occupying the land, this promised land that he was giving to them. And God told the people of that day, don't bother them. They're going to be here, just chill and let them alone. Don't fight against them, the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites. It's okay. And it wasn't long that these tribes that were already living there, those three, decided that they were going to join forces together and they were going to fight against God's people and conquer them. Which led to the people of God fearing for their very existence, thinking that suddenly they were going to be under attack. Well, they did what they had done many times. They went to King Jehoshaphat and said, King, listen, whatever you do, you gotta pray to God that this doesn't happen. Pray to God and ask for help. They knew that it was only going to be a miracle of God that would be able to save them. So Jehoshaphat prayed. And the Lord answered those prayers through a prophet. And the prophet said to Jehoshaphat these words, "You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord." That's what this prophet told Jehoshaphat. So I want you to check out this battle strategy of God's people against these persons who are coming to conquer them. Check this out. The next morning, they got up and prepared for fight, for battle. But King Jehoshaphat, normally what he would do, he would put the archers and he would put the swordsmen in the front to do battle. Not that day. That day, he asked the choir to go stand in front. I like that, choir members. Y'all go in front. And he asked them to sing. That sounds like great strategy, right? Okay, so they did. Sing they did. Here's what they sang. "Praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever." Praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. And if it could get any weirder, it did. Because what happened was that those three armies that had joined forces began to fight against each other until they were all wiped out. And God's people were victorious. Hadn't lifted a finger. All they had done is exactly what the prophet told them to do. Stand still and watch God go to work. It's out of that backdrop, out of that story, that the psalmist wrote Psalm 46. So I want you to grab your bulletins, or you can turn your Bible to Psalm 46. And if you've got a pen or a pencil and you want to underline some really cool phrases that are in this psalm that are just incredibly helpful as we go about living life on a daily basis. Psalm 46 is a powerful word for you and for me this morning to hear once again. If you want to underline that first verse, that's a great one. God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we'll not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. A river brings joy to the city of our God, the sacred home of the Most High. Here's another good part to underline. God dwells in that city. It cannot be destroyed. That's a great line to just underline that. From the very break of day, and here's another little piece, God will protect it. The nations are in chaos and their kingdoms crumble. God's voice thunders and the earth melts. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. And this next part is good. The God of Israel is our fortress. The God of Israel is our fortress. Come see the glorious works of the Lord. See how He brings destruction upon the world. He causes wars to end throughout the earth. He breaks the bow and snaps the spear. He burns the shields with fire. This next part is really good. Really important. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. And underline this to the end. The God of Israel is our fortress. Martin Luther was a German monk. And he, how do you say it? He bucked the system. He called into question some of the very basic tenets of Roman Catholicism in the early 16th century. He was soon to learn what it meant to be under attack, just like King Jehoshaphat was. Just like some of us feel from time to time, being under attack. Luther had been taught all of his life, and he had believed all of his life, that if he couldn't figure out how to obey God's laws perfectly, then he was a guilty mess. And that he was subject then to God's wrath and judgment and condemnation and punishment. Until one day he read from another Old Testament book, Habakkuk chapter 2, and he read these words: "The just," or the righteous, "the just shall live by his faith." That was a life changer for Martin Luther. In that moment, Luther realized that his salvation wasn't based on how good of a person he was. His salvation wasn't based upon the number of indulgences that he paid. His salvation wasn't based upon the number of good things that he had done that particular day. The light bulb came on in his heart and in his life. And he realized that it was only Jesus and his sacrifice that made a difference. Jesus, the God's declaration that he was forgiven. That faith, by faith he could live. By faith in God. Martin Luther made that decision that he had enough. He wasn't going to buy any more indulgences to be relieved of his guilt. He wasn't going to stand by and settle for the whims and the orders from the Pope or the Emperor. He was tired of God's character and God's word being called into question. And he took it upon himself to write down 95, what he called the 95 theses. 95 viewpoints, 95 beliefs. And he went to a church in Wittenberg and he nailed them to the door. He said, here's where I stand. Now, what he meant was that he wanted these 95 viewpoints of his to be a point of discussion, debate with the leaders of the church. But that didn't happen. The leaders of the church took his actions as being a critique of the religious system. They took his actions to mean that he wasn't going to obey them anymore. And suddenly, Martin Luther was under attack from all sides. From the emperor, from the church, from other townspeople. They were convinced that Martin Luther had gone wacko. They believed that he had lost his mind. That something had happened in his mind, that he'd gone off the deep end. In the aftermath of all that was going on, he found the words of Psalm 46 to be an incredible comfort to him. While he was under attack, while he was being persecuted, he knew firsthand what that meant. And from these words of Psalm 46, he discovered what it meant to know God to be his fortress and his protection Luther had taken a stand for the truth. It was a very dangerous stand in that day. I mean, his followers in the Netherlands, 50,000 of them died in one day because they dared to stand for the truth as well. Because of their persecution, Martin Luther penned the words to that hymn that we just sang two verses of a few moments ago, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." And he wrote those words to tell people who would sing them that no matter how bleak the circumstances might look in life, no matter how much attack we might be sensing or feeling in our lives, there is always great hope in the Lord Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, the one whom we can turn to when we think we are at the end of our rope. He is a strong tower when we feel powerless, when we realize that our resources are inadequate, when we feel like, oh, there's no other help. He is our strong tower. You ever been there? You needed to know that? You know, so you might be thinking at this point, well, that's all. Man, that's cool information. Good story about where you live. Good story about out of the, you know, Second Chronicles. That's a cool thing. Good story about Martin Luther. So what? I'm really glad you asked that, because I want to dig a little deeper. Here's the deal. God is ours, mine, yours, ours. He is a mighty fortress. God is our mighty fortress. In times of trouble and uncertainty, God is our refuge and our strength. A very present help in the time of trouble. Our fortress. You know, a fortress is like a castle. It's you know, built high and built in a way so that people just can't come waltzing in. It's tough to get in. It's tough to penetrate the walls of a castle. It's built for protection. It's built for people to know that they're safe. And that's what God is for you and me. A fortress. Where we can know that we are safe. Where we can know that God is there around us. Watching over us. God, listen, God is always that for you and me. Our fortress. A mighty fortress is our God. You know, there are millions of people in this world who have been tricked and led to believe that they don't need God's help. That they don't need God to be their place of refuge from the storms of life. That they don't need His strength to get by in life from day to day. They don't need His presence to live life. There are millions of people who believe that somehow they are strong enough to save themselves. There are millions more that have been led astray by the lusts and the hatred within the world in which we live. And maybe among those millions of people, it's pretty general, are some people that you and I know and love and care deeply about. Most of us within this room this morning I don't know, we feel like we experience attacks of various kinds almost daily as we follow Jesus. Just like Luther. And when Luther was in the midst of this personal mess in his life, here's the cool thing. He recognized that the enemy wasn't other people. It wasn't the Pope. It wasn't the Emperor. It was the devil himself. Maybe some of us here this morning need to come to that same realization. That when we're under attack, it's not another person. It's not the leaders of our country. It's not Joe Schmo down the street. It's the devil himself. Listen, Peter called him out. Peter said, look, the devil is like a roaring lion, roaming around looking for those people that he can destroy, that he can devour. The devil oftentimes comes around into the lives of and as an angel of light. The devil is a schemer. He's a deceiver. The Bible says that he's a liar. That he's the father of lies. That he's the author of fear and discouragement and pain and heartache. Church, listen to what I'm going to tell you. The devil, Satan, is not our friend. Hear me, church. He's not our friend. In fact, he hates Jesus' followers. Look again at the psalm. Grab your bullets if you set them aside. Look at that psalm. And know this, church, that in those crazy moments, in those crazy circumstances in our lives, when those attacks come our way, fast and furious, God is our fortress, our protector, our defender from every situation in life. The psalmist wrote about worldwide changes and calamities, earthquakes and turbulent seas. Luther wrote about the loss of home and material goods and honor and even the loss of life. Church, no matter what, even as this ever-changing world in which we live, broken, as this world trembles and crumbles around us, there is one solid source of protection. There is one solid source of comfort and strength for you and me as followers of Jesus. The love and presence of God. The power of the Holy Spirit is a mighty fortress in our lives. We might lose everything else, but we still have Jesus.
Amen.
Now, what would Scripture be if there wasn't a challenge with it? And there is a challenge in Psalm 46. And here's ours for today. When life gets really hard, when life gets really tough, hear what, again, the prophet said to Jehoshaphat. Be still and know that He is God. Be still. Now listen, I don't know about you, but for me, when life gets crazy, and when I sense there are attacks coming from all over the place, when I'm threatened by life's issues, one of the hardest things for me is to be still. I don't know if that's a typical thing for me and for all of us, but I'm telling you, for me, I want to fight and scratch and claw and fix it. Anybody else with me? Yeah. It's hard for me to be still. I read this and thought, be still and know that I'm God. Wow, can I do that? Can I really do that? Be still. And one of the hardest things for Jesus followers is to be still and wait on God. To be still means, and this is going to sound cheesy and like, oh yeah, one of those worn out little phrases, but to be still means let go and let God. Let go and let God. It means that we're not required to make an extra effort. We don't have to wear ourselves out with anxiety over some issue and worrying about things or fretting about something. It means to all the stuff that's in life that's coming at us, take it to the foot of the cross and lay it down and let it go. Be still and know that I'm God. I know. For me, maybe for most of us, that's easier said than done. It takes developing trust, continuing faith that God is going to be true to His promise and He's never going to forsake us. As our fortress and our protector, God invites us into His presence to have no fear, to be still, and to find perfect rest in Him. So, could those words be true? Those words that we sang a few moments ago, we're going to sing again here in a moment. I hope that we'll all join in and sing it like we mean it. Can they be true in our lives? A mighty fortress is our God. And I think I need to say this. Just because we say those words and we say, yeah, I believe it, I want to be there, that does not guarantee us from being free of stress or being free of problems. It means that we have a refuge, that we have a fortress around us, church. It means that the promise of God's love and grace and mercy and presence will always be a part of our lives. Well, that's true. We can face tomorrow knowing He's there already. He's got it. Now, you know, this morning maybe there's somebody here that's just struggling with life, to let go and let God, to see God as that mighty fortress. Maybe you're just struggling with that in your life right now. And maybe this morning is a chance for you to just lay it down, to do what it means, to let go and let God. And I just want you to know, if that's where you are, this prayer rail is open. You can come and pray. I'm not going to come and disturb you. It's just between you and God. I know you can do that right where you are, and that's cool. If you want to do that, take a moment. As we sing this great hymn of the church, a mighty fortress is our God.
A mighty fortress.
Before we go home.